Beer, beer.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Kettle House Beer Show. We've got two beers today from the Kettle House Brewery in Missoula, Montana, where when you're in Missoula, Montana, what else do you think of except beer?
Right? Exactly.
I mean, I don't think anything else. Is there anything else in Montana?
Where is
well,
it?
Well, there's a university there. I know that. But
in Missoula?
Moose Drool is the big one from Montana. So this is kind of a new brewery that I just heard about recently. And our friend of the show, Mitch, came down for a visit, and he brought these along with him. So we've been holding on to these for a while.
Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about these that we've kind of been looking forward to is so few people doing it, but they're one more. They're in cans.
Yeah.
And that's
neat stuff.
Yeah. So we're going to start off, like I said, we got two beers from Missoula, Montana, and the Kettle House Brewery there, which if you want to visit them on the internet, it is kettlehouse.com. Pretty easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start off, kick it off with a cold smoke Scotch Ale. And Rick, have you got the marketing gibberish in front of you?
I do. Cold smoke Scotch Ale earned a silver medal in 2002 and a gold medal in 2007 NABA Brewfest. Formulated with Montana-grown two-row barley, Northwest Golden hops, and lots of love. Now, they put love in the beer.
Mm.
This hearty ale drinks very smooth, not bitter at all, and not too sweet either. Novice beer drinkers have been known to take a taste and then say, wow, that's not what I expected. That's good. A hint of roasted barley lends a slight coffee-like smoky finish. It packs a 6.5% ABV punch. Perfect. After a day of ripping lines on area or your favorite backcountry getaway. Available in 16-ounce aluminum cans.
Mm-hmm. 6.5 ABV, 11 IBUs. 11? That's like nothing.
Yeah.
It's not,
it almost tastes like rough. It almost tastes like drinking a Coca-Cola.
But I got to tell you, though, I'm drinking this. Well, you know what? Going with that, it looks like Coke. It's not black. It's brown. Yeah. And it's got a little tan head.
Yep.
And it's got 11 IBUs. But see, I'm getting a little bit of hops, I believe. But for 11 IBU, are you getting any hops, Rick?
A little bit. I'm getting a little bit of the smoke character that you typically associate with the Scottish ale. I tend to like mine a little more smoky than this.
I think it's a good entry beer. So like they said in the marketing speak, novice beer drinker's been known to take a taste and say, wow. It is a tasty beverage.
You know,
here.
It's just not overpowering in any fashion at all. It's a real middle-of-the-road type of beer. It's good. I like
Not saying that in a bad way at all. It's a good – I think this is a great start-off beer to kind of introduce ourselves to Kettle House. It's a and I got it's a little bit of smokiness, a little bit of hops. The roasted barley is coming through. It's very good. Because the Scotch ales, you know, sometimes they can be just too sweet, too kind of cloying and stuff, especially when you get into like the heavier ones, you know. Unless you're going for that. Yeah.
Rick,
I think they're designing their beers for people that are out camping or fishing or whatever.
True.
You know, that's why they're canning them. And, you know, fly fishing is really big in Montana. So it's browsing through the Kettle House Brewing Company website, and they said you can only have 3 pints at their tasting room due to some Montana law that they can only serve 48 ounces to an individual in a 12-hour day or something like that.
Damn,
kind
government.
Of weird law.
Damn. Yeah, but you can go buy a six-pack of it, I assume.
True.
Or cans, or whatever you want, right?
But you just can't consume it on premises, I guess.
So they may have some kind of on-premise rule.
Getting back to the cans, what do you think it saves a brewery to do cans versus bottles? Is there that much savings, you think?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, they're lighter.
Do we think it's economy or is it convenience, storage? I mean, obviously there's not going to be any breakage, mm-hmm. right?
Well, they've actually got a whole story about their justification on the back of the can. Part of it is because they do want to help campers and fishers. Another reason is because cans are more easily recyclable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the big point for them.
Well, I guess for their immediate target audience, that does. That makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, you're in Montana. You don't want a bunch of bottles.
You know, the thing is, your traditional craft beers are all in bottles. So will a traditional craft beer drinker take a chance on a canned beer?
Well, I think if, you know, my own opinion, can means shit.
Mm-hmm.
But since there's been some coming out, you know.
Oscar Blues
and these guys, and I know there's some odds and ends out there. I think it's.
Howie Brewing Company.
Yeah, it's getting less, right? Now, wouldn't you say it's getting less of a.
Stereotype?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I don't think cans.
Right.
Yeah.
As stigmatized anymore. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the brewer, right?
True.
It doesn't say one of the big boys, then you're looking good, right? Well, very cool of Mitch. Friend of show to stop in and say hey to Rick and bring some beers. Very good. And we always appreciate that and encourage anybody who listens to bring us beer.
Amen.
We'll mention your name.
Yeah, Mitch, stop in more often.
Yeah, come on back, Mitch. It's about time. We probably need to mention that giving beer to us is not limited. You can give beers to any of the shows on the Beer Safari Network, beersafari.com. It's the jungle of beer out there. And they're all willing to take your beer. And we want to shout out to one of our – I mean, they are one of our favorite shows. These people, they were total fuck-ups when they started. I mean, they didn't know which end of the damn bottle to drink from. But they've really, I mean, now you listen to them, it's like, listen to those limp-wristed flit boy beer snobs. You know, they really are. They're all up in the beer now. And of course,
they swaddle their beer.
They do. They I can see their little pinkies extended as they drink it. The delicate flowers that are the Beer Report, Groucho and Chud. Which could be further from the truth. Now it's really something to have watched them just kind of like come into their own and stuff. And they've got a milestone coming up, 50.
Big 5-0.
50 shows. And that is a milestone. That is an
true
achievement.
That's longevity in this industry.
Man, 3 is a streak, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. If you can make it to 3, you're doing good. But now this good staff and Groucho and Cha and, of course, you know, AB and all the various and sundry mm-hmm. individuals that compose that show. It's a great job. We love listening to them. And they'll definitely take a beer. And they're malt liquor, 40s, yeah. Whatever the hell you got. They don't care. Yeah. They'll take it. You know,
rice wine.
Yeah, congratulations to Groucho and Chud for Big 50, and we're looking forward to 50 more, of course. So,
bit of trivia, Chud stands for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller.
Yeah.
Google that for Google videos.
Yeah. And look on Beer Safari if you want to catch up on some of their shows. BeerSafari.com. It's the jungle of beer out there. I've been trained well by a fellow Beer Safari member, Phil.
But when are you going to do the one on M&M's?
Yeah, that's right. M&M, the official snack food of Big Foamy Head. Pairs well with beers, the red ones especially.
Yes.
Which color M&M goes best with Kettle House smoke, cold smoke scotch ale?
I'd say the brown ones.
I think I'd go with that.
They have brown ones? I don't recall seeing a brown M&M.
The chocolate
Maybe the
ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chocolate ones.
Right, not the peanut butter
you
or
racist
peanut ones.
Bastard.
Do they have discriminating against? He only uses the white M&Ms. Hey, why aren't there white M&Ms? I guess if you suck the color off.
I think they do have white M&Ms around Valentine's Day.
Easter.
The red and the white ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, it's getting about that time,
Christmas
too.
Time, I think they do the red, white, no. Maybe,
and that's
maybe
an easy.
Red and green.
You know, that's the thing, Valentine's Day coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
What you getting your lover?
Nothing, not a damn thing. I don't know what I'm getting my wife either.
Yeah.
Wait for that one.
Mike set me up. I spiked it. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Remember, the more you drink, the funnier we sound.
Amen.
Now, I was just thinking that, you know, it's like for women, you got all these things. What do you got to get? It depends on the state you're in that week, if they're pissed at you or whatever. The a guy, get him a beer and
he's happy,
and some do something you don't usually do the rest of the year. Yep. To him,
he's happy. Like cook he's supper.
Yeah, make dinner or something. You know, it's real easy. It's like you can tell there's a difference, right? But so what do we think about this cold smoked Scotch ale? I'm liking this. I'm looking at it, like you said, Mike. It's looks like a Coke. It's got a brown color, a tan head, and so far this is my favorite beer.
Mine too.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. They got a little born on date thing. It's December 9th, 2008. So,
okay,
these aren't too old.
It ages well.
Yeah, it's aged what? Almost a month. No, a year.
A year.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Best Buy.
Best Buy.
So we're drinking it past
Best Buy date. Okay, so we're actually drinking it after the expiration. I don't think that applies with a good beer. It's good. 6.5% alcohol, so it's not over the top, right?
Smooth.
And like you said middle of the road, which is not by any means take anything away from it.
No, it's, not a
it
bit.
Works for everybody. Yeah. I think this is a very good entry. And speaking of entries, Rick, you had yourself a time, right, last night trying out some odds and ends of beers. Where'd you go?
Yeah, the Boulder Beer Company, they did their first ever beer rave, and it was hosted by Brewmaster DMZ, which is David Zuckerman, who's the head brewer there, you know, so... they had at least 30 beers, a lot of different companies that aren't readily available. My favorites of the evening were a limited release from Boulder Beer called a barrel-aged Never Summer Ale. And that was it was just awesome. They put it in a Stranahan's whiskey barrel for a little while.
Now,
so
I got
a lot of the vanilla.
What is it? What is a never aged summer ale? Because I got a mental picture of something light.
Never summer ale is it's a dark winter beer.
Oh, okay.
It means
okay.
It's never summer.
Play on words. I think we had that right a while back.
Yeah, I'm
never
sure.
Summer.
Probably since
so
but you didn't
how
have
was it
in the Stranahan's whiskey barrel. I'll guarantee that.
No,
this was the first they'd served that.
Okay,
and it was beautiful. And then Beer Valley Brewing Company, they had a Black Flag, which was a massively dry hop stout.
Yeah. An homage to punk bands and Insect Killer, both.
That's the first thing I thought of.
A little taste of DDT in every drop.
They're out of Ontario, Oregon. Their other offering was Leifer Madness, which I thought was kind of funny.
Leifer Madness.
That's great. So, okay, so punk bands and little
dope
drug
smokers,
culture. All right, I'm liking these guys.
Yeah, they have a lot of fun.
And then the next favorite beer I had was from Middletown, Rhode Island, which I don't think we ever had a Rhode Island beer before. It was called Newport Storm Coastal Extreme Brewing Company. The beer was James, and that was their Scottish Ale,
okay,
which was intensely smoky. So.
Okay, so that's what you were talking about. So you really do have a basis of comparison to this beer from last night, a super smoked ale, right? Were these all
right? They're about 8% ABV.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Were these all kind of big beers?
No. There were quite a few pedestrian ones, but there were some real stand out of the crowd types, you know.
But you say the smoky
the
beer,
double India Pale, was really good.
The smoky beer was a Rhode Island beer, you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well,
Middletown, Rhode Island.
Very good. Well, it sounds like a big time, for sure.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, you know, the ravers, they get all hopped up on E, and then they like splashy, spinning, twirling things, right?
Did they do that?
There was no E that I know of going on last night, but they did give us a little fluorescent wristbands and things like that.
Did they do like the lights and you know, disco ball shit and all that?
No, they set the mood pretty well,
okay,
though. They were playing Was music you would expect to hear at a rave, though.
Okay. What kind of music was it? Who was it?
It was like techno and dance, you know.
House, drum and bass, all that.
Yeah. Okay. Electronica, right.
Okay, so we should probably like float some music under and get our into.
There you go. We get some techno going. Splod and beat or...
Yeah. Did you wear your leather pants?
I did not. I don't even have
those. He wore his parachute pants.
Well, I was afraid. Hey, look, when he's really feeling risque, he wears his leather chaps. Ass hanging out everywhere.
That's more than I needed to know.
Special one. Have you got the visual?
I've got it. Okay. And I don't need any more of it.
Well, good stuff, man. Thanks, Mitch, for hooking us up. And great stuff from Kettle House. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Practice it on the repeat.
Were you feeling it? Are you feeling me?
Can you feel me? I can feel it.
That was Blind Mississippi at Morris and Mean Screech.
Man, I love me some Mean Screech.
That was kind of like it was a blues instrumental. We didn't know for sure because, you know, we were just kicking it around thinking, oh, we need to play something. We need to get our roots back and play some blues. And of course, Blind Mississippi Morris, local. And a guy that we've all talked with, and he's a hell of a guy.
Good old fella.
He is. And and that was just like some nasty gut bucket blues. And what were you saying, Mike? Makes you want to grab your
woman? Makes you want to grab your woman, get her close, and you know, pour some barbecue sauce all over and do her up and down like a rib bone.
Been the back like she ain't got no bone.
That's like some of those songs you send out, some of the real old blues songs. They're pretty risque, actually.
Oh, they are.
It was
a lot of sexual. It wasn't innuendo. They were just talking about
it. Flat out talking about it, where, you know, where they wouldn't get lynched or something.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you, man.
No, that's pretty cool. And so, you know, Blind Mississippi, he's keeping alive here. And we'll get to see a lot more of that. I played some, I think, a show or two before with some of the young guys coming up. International Blues Challenge. And I'm hoping I'm in town to see this. I have never been to see it. And this is where acts from all over the world come to Memphis. And they compete 2 days, 3 days, just nonstop competition. Some of the best music you've ever heard in your life. No kidding. It doesn't matter what you like. You go watch these guys, and hell, most of them are totally unknown to the masses. And it's pretty cool to see. And it's a big deal for the blues scene here in Memphis. So you can find out more if you go to our friends at blues.org. And we're a sponsor, by God.
Do you know, like, what time of year it is?
It's coming up next week.
Oh,
or,
wow.
Or week after. Sorry, week after. It's February. I want to say it's February 7th, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, around that time frame. Look it up on blues.org. And so anyway, that was a little Blind Missy Morris kind of getting us in the mood. I had to take a nip. I mean, it was getting me. We were all, and Mike's like humming it, and Rick's bobbing his head and stuff. So if you skip through it, you rat bastard, go back and listen to it. Get your drink on, listen to it. That's some Memphis style, man. So,
speaking of Memphis music coming up, it's not too early to start planning for Memphis in May.
I know, and planning, right. Rick bought his tickets.
Already. Yeah. Somebody's already done some planning.
Yeah, Rick's not looking forward to it much. He bought his tickets. Nah, it is. That's a great time for us. And anybody who's listening to Big Film Head knows we like us some Memphis in May, don't we? That's good
time
stuff.
To start planning it.
Yeah,
it's
boy.
Not too many months away.
I know, it really isn't. Time flies.
Man, it does.
It really does.
You realize it was almost like just a few months ago we were out there and jamming to some good old music and having some fun, drinking some good beer.
Out in the warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are.
That one night, though, it was damn cold, you remember?
Yeah.
That first Friday night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, Lordy.
That's why you gotta stack up on the alcohol, get your antifreeze level up, right? So you know what? We need to stock up on our next beer.
Yes, we do.
We got us one, our second one, that's going to vie for the title of most favorite beer from Kettle House. What do you got there? What are you cracking up in, Mike?
The Double Hall IPA from Kettle House Brewing Company in Missoula, Montana.
Crack that boy. There it is.
Not a
sound you hear often.
Not too often.
Except in football games. Right?
That is correct, sir.
And this is our Double Hall IPA from Kettle House. Oh, it's foaming. We got a little bit.
I got a little happy
party foul. A little foamage action. This thing foams. How's yours doing, Rick?
Mine foam quite a bit too.
Yeah.
It's, also leaving a little bit of foam on the side of the glass.
You want?
But it's a beautiful color.
Yeah, it is. It's a what would
orange-ish.
You? Yeah, a little orangish tint. It's kind of an amber orange, leaning more towards the orange. The head's just kind of a bisque. Bone white and odds and ends of sizes of bubbles, very effervescent, floating up here. Nice, good looking beer. We're using our sampler glasses. What do you got? A pint glass?
Full pint.
Yeah, that's a good looking beer there.
This one's a little bit fresher. It says best by January 109.
Well, we don't want to drink that old beer.
No.
So, Rick, you want to favor us with a description?
Sure. Double Hall IPAs are our most popular taproom ale, and the folks at NABA agreed, awarding it a gold medal at the 2008 Brewfest. Brewed with lots of hops and packing a 6.5 alcohol punch, Double Hall IPA is a beer lover's dream. After a couple of Double Halls, you will feel like you're out with your buddies, and it's fish on.
Fish on.
Fish on. Cascade bittering hops, Cascade flavoring hops, and Cascade finishing hops, a veritable cascade of hoppiness. Brewed with love and now available in 16-ounce aluminum cans, 6.6% ABV, 65 IBUs, but who's counting?
Man, Cascade. I love the Cascade.
Hard to go wrong with that.
Oh, man, and they used it in the bittering, the flavoring, and the finishing. It is, like they say, a cascade of hoppiness.
Well, I like it.
It's definitely got, and if you're not a fan of Cascade, well, it sucks to be you. Because that is it. It's got that pronounced kind of like grapefruitish bite.
Yep.
Maybe a little tiny bit of grassiness in it. I know that this is what I know about Cascades is that depending on the boil, you can range, right? From the grapefruity, the citrusy, to the grassy. And this is kind of like right in between to me.
Yeah, it's got a pretty good malt background too, though.
It
finishes
not
really good.
Your face.
No, it's not. Yeah. It carries itself well. It finishes, and the hops kind of linger a little bit, and then they pack up and leave.
Yeah,
it's
kind of like relatives, the good relatives,
the good ones. Yeah. Yep, you've stayed just long enough. Now get the hell out. And I'm looking, and it dirties up your glass nicely.
Sure.
You got a nice rings and lacing all around that. You can tell that this foam does stick around. It kind of gets a little pudding-like on my second pour. Very good stuff. You know something, though, that Rick, you were reading, and in some of the descriptions, it has all caps. So fish on, apparently we were all supposed to scream out, fish on! But the cold smoked ale, I want to go back to that for a second. They said in there in the description, perfect after a day of ripping lines on area or your favorite backcountry. I'm obviously ripping, Montana tarted. What is ripping lines? Because I know several things skiing. That I personally rip.
It's got to be snow skiing, you think?
No, I think it's probably fly fishing, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess
I thought maybe fishing.
Yeah, well, you rip the line, you pull the line down through the guides on your rod there.
Okay.
I think that's what they call it when you're ripping the line.
Have to ask Mitch or some the fine folks at Kettle House to clarify what the hell's ripping lines.
It's been a long time since I've done any fly fishing, but I remember that. I think they called that ripping. You rip the line through.
Well,
you know, so maybe that's what they're talking about.
Could be. I don't know. So this IPA, you know, I love a good IPA, and I'm glad we took this approach. We went to maltier, roastier, and now we've gone to a lighter, brighter, hoppy, a little festive beer here.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a happy little beer.
I think this one would overpower the other one, don't you?
Yeah. This has definitely got some taste to it, and it's a pretty beer. I like this. I like this beer quite a bit. And I think, again, it's like a middle. For an IPA, this wouldn't be a beginner. This would be
How many IBUs on this one?
Does it say? 65.
No, 65, yeah.
Which is for that's about dead perfect IBUs for an IPA, right? That's right in there in the specs. Mm-hmm. I know we've had... We looked, if you recall, we looked at Avery and Stone, and they were both right around that number. Mm-hmm. So this is right in line with the amount of IBUs that you would get. But like you said, Rick, with the malt background, that's where IBUs really, they don't count. Mm-hmm. If you jack up the malt, it's still technically high IBU, but you don't taste it. This, I think, is a good balance.
True.
I'm reading the about us page, and it's actually kind of interesting. Tim O'Leary is the guy who started the brewery, but it says one afternoon on his bike ride home, he spotted a new business that had cropped up in Boulder because he was living in Colorado. It was a brew on premise place, a place where customers could come and brew their own beer. Having dabbled in home brewing for a few years, he tried it and thought, this is my ticket back home. So a home brewer who went professional.
Okay. Nice. So that's where we have this come from. Okay, very nice. Well, you know,
I have people around here talk about this brew on premise place. I guess the kettles are still around somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Storage.
Oh, you mean it's no longer around?
No, that place closed, but there have been several homebrew shops open and closed in the meantime.
I've heard about that, and I don't think that's ever existed in Memphis, nor would it.
Yeah.
there's so many businesses closing up. We were driving around today and looking. It's like there's a new store. It's closed. There's the new mall that we have out here. Hell, there's stores closing left and right.
The I know.
Economy and
what'd you see where Williams Sonoma's closing the one in Memphis?
Yeah, Circuit City.
Yeah,
gone. All of them. All right. Of them. I mean, there and then of course, lest we forget the automakers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just facing on the brink of disaster, and there's only one thing, right? That's going to save these guys: a bailout.
Money, Sonny.
Are we?
How about a beer bailout?
Are we segueing to a beer bailout? Is that in our future, Rick? Is that in our future?
Yeah. Cue the music. The Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku Daily. Fair is fair. Beer costs much more than it did just a year ago. I need a bailout. Written by a haiku pundit. Beer haiku dealer.
Beer haiku. Class. Beer haiku. Culture. You can find this and more at beersavari.com. It's a jungle of beer out there.
I heard it was a jungle of beer out there.
It is. It's a jungle of expensive beer, apparently. Now, really, it's one of the things, though, that, you know, cost goes up a dollar. This is an investment in your quality of life.
Hey, man, you know, I bought the Double Dead Guy, I think it was.
Yeah, the nice red bottle.
Mm-hmm. Was that the Double Bastard? I can't remember which one it was, but it was like $11.99 a bottle.
Yeah, well here in Memphis, Tennessee, we pay out the ass.
Yeah.
I know, I got a bottle of Delirium Tremens. I wanted to get my Belgian on.
Yeah.
$11.99.
Holy shit.
We got to move to Denver.
What? No, we pay a lot for Stone and Delirium, too. You know, those are just expensive beers.
Now, have you noticed, though, really? I mean, I know, you know, we kind of take it for granted, as you well know, that we're going to pay a little extra here. But I really would like to get a pulse on the rest of the world and see, you know, we had the hop scare. About a year ago, year and a half ago, which didn't really pan out all that much, and from what I saw,
hop prices did go up.
I know. I stocked up on hops, and they're still in my freaking fridge.
Yeah, they did. You know? They did go up, but I mean,
they're completely available now everywhere you go. There's no hop shortage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, better safe than sorry.
You know, we talked about it on it being a kind of like a media induced frenzy. You know. We talked about that.
Beer media.
Yeah.
That would be us, too. Okay. So, enough about this. Everything's going to hell. There's nothing we can do about it except enjoy yet another beer from Kettle House. So we've had two. We've had the Double Hall IPA. We've had the Cold Smoke Scotch Ale. Decision time. Which was your favorite? Mike?
I'm going to say dead even on both. I liked them both equally. Do I have to pick a favorite?
No, sir, you don't.
Okay,
This isn't America.
I'm not.
You're free to not choose.
I liked them both. I thought they both served their purpose very well.
And I got to go with you on that. They really were. They were very nice. I thought they did a good job in both their types of classes, and they were really good. I got no complaints about any of them. It's a good-looking beer. And it tasted good.
I like the can.
Rick?
Yeah, if you're in Missoula, Montana, you know, hunting, fishing, or otherwise trying to kill animals, stop by and give them some drink some beers.
You got to love those PETA people, people eating tasty animals, right?
Tasty animals. Right. So we don't know what the distribution area might be, somewhere between Jack and shit, Jack left down. Hey, call Mitch.
Mitch's phone number
is... I think it's
cool
that a guy... took a home brewing dream and made a business out of it, and he seems to be doing
it.
It's a good
story. So
good deal.
So he did that.
Well, Rick, do you see these in your mega beer store out there in Denver?
I haven't been shopping recently, but no, I haven't seen these before.
Okay.
So we'll try and find out a little bit about that, and feel free to check the website. Who knows? We may post something about it. Right? Mm-hmm. And good stuff. Good, very good beers. Little short show this time, and that's it. I got nothing else. You got anything?
Two beers, two segments.
There you go.
Pretty good.
All right. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Check, please.
Well, Lord, what you please. Please show me the way. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, won't you please show me the way? You know I still love my baby, but I have the blues today. These blues is at my window, and the blues is prowling round my door. These blues is at my window, and the blues is prowling round my door. Please go away, oh blues, I don't need you no more. I believe, I've gone to the river and drowned. I believe I've gone to the river and drowned. I'm gonna catch me an airplane. People, I'm gonna leave this town. I still love my baby.